You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and we've got a very interesting, very feelings-related episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about, but also a good bit of news going on. So without further ado, how goes it with you, Mr. John Raven?
Oh, you know, the two sides are warring, and I can't wait to see how everything comes out, but
indeed, mommy and daddy are fighting.
Yes, mama, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's both mommies and daddies. It's Clark versus Bruce. It's Steve versus Tony.
That guy.
Everybody's kung fu fighting.
Indeed, and we have Luke Cage and Iron Fist to look forward to, and there will be even more kung fu fighting.
Well, yeah, Danny's really the only one kung fu fighting, but everybody else is just fighting.
Just beating the crap out of each other. All right, cool. First of all, I want to talk about one thing. We made an announcement on the Facebook group today. Apparently, iTunes has this thing where up until now you could tag your podcast as either clean or explicit, or not have a tag at all. And we have been not having a tag at all, because that seemed to make sense. I have since been told that they have started, number one, getting more strict about what falls into which category, and they have also gotten rid of the option to not have either as a tag. You have to be either clean or explicit. And while there are no good guidelines online that I can find, if any of you out there can, then please send them my way. But as far as I can tell, there really isn't a clear guideline as to what constitutes clean versus explicit. I was personally thinking that clean was you're not dropping F-bombs and you're not talking about porn or something, you know? That it was, you know, we're talking like serious R rating type stuff.
Right.
But now it is sounding like in order to get the clean stamp of approval, it basically has to be G rated. It has to be not have any quote unquote adult content.
The dreaded G rating.
Indeed. When have you ever seen something rated G that was not a cartoon? And there are plenty of cartoons that are definitely not G rated. But in talking about it with some of the other ESO Network co-hosts and with our network director, Mike Faber, and John and I discussing it, I think we're going to go with explicit, because ultimately there's the nature of the stuff that we talk about is not necessarily stuff that you would want to be talking about with your five-year-old, you know?
Yeah, especially once we start getting into the Netflix series between the violence of Daredevil, the rape issues,
yep,
in Jessica Jones,
mm-hmm,
and who knows what else we're going to see in Luke Cage and Iron Fist and
sure,
Defenders.
Sure, and in addition to that, I mean, ultimately, one of the main things on all of the shows and all the movies that we look at is people beating the crap out of each other, and people even killing each other. So, right there, that's kind of an adult subject. We've talked about things like racism and gender identity and, you know, sexual identity and you know, lots of things. And for me, I think that's having those moral issues is part of what makes any kind of speculative slash genre fiction interesting. You know, that we're going to have stuff coming up with Civil War dealing with, you know, some very moral issues in terms of, you know, not just like loyalty to your friends, but, you know, obeying the law. When is it the morally right mm-hmm. thing to do to break the law? And so under the circumstances, though, I am not crazy about taking on the explicit tag, because ultimately that does mean that we will get blocked from some countries. So to those of us, to those of you in the audience who are listening from China or from North Korea or from Emirates or Iraq or a number of other places, it is possible that we may disappear and no longer be available on iTunes for you. But for the rest of you, just to reassure everybody, the show is not changing at all, no matter what our tag is. We're just trying to make sure that we're staying within within the guidelines. So yeah.
If you do live in one of those countries, there may be, you know, ways.
Oh yeah.
Quote unquote ways.
I mean, I'm
yar ha ha yo ho ho and a ball of rum. To us anyway.
Indeed. And that's...
Not that I would encourage you to do anything that would violate your country's laws, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right. And I mean, we're talking... This is through iTunes. There are many, many other fine podcast purveyors, including Podbean and Stitcher and whatnot. But anyway, just letting people know about that, so that if you see us branded as explicit, don't worry, nothing has gotten... Really, nothing has really changed. It's just us being us.
Well, so, I'll be dropping more F-bombs, but that's me.
You know, that is not out of the question. That is always a concern, you know, for me. But fortunately, I do the editing, so I can take those things out. Ha, ha, ha.
The FCC won't let me be or let me be me.
Indeed. All right, so I guess... Keeping in line with some of the more controversial social type stuff, one of the big things going on in North Carolina as well as in Georgia right now is there are, and this may not seem like it's a Marvel thing, but wait for it, some bills in the legislature moving on to the governor for signature, dealing with. What boils down to legalized discrimination against people who are LGBT. I believe that has been signed already by the governor for North Carolina, correct?
It has been. Pat McCrory, and at this point I should note that I am withholding several different things I could say about him that would definitely get us banned from certain countries under explicit label. Did sign the bill. This was and it started in Charlotte with a city ordinance that basically said use whatever bathroom you feel is appropriate mm-hmm. to your sexual and gender identity.
Right.
And North Carolina
disputed.
General Assembly in its infinite wisdom said, no, we can't allow that. We're going to override your home rule on this mm-hmm. and tell you what you should do.
Right, and I believe that it's my understanding that got further expanded during the legislative process, so that it is also, you know, allowing for other
yes.
kinds of discrimination as well. So
it did at a total cost of $42,000 to the taxpayers.
Nice.
Yeah, I
and
know.
That's that's just like mm-hmm. as of now. Yeah, so that's something that's going on in North Carolina. The reason this relates to Marvel is that Marvel has just come out with a statement specifically on a similar law that is pending right now in Georgia.
Yes.
It has passed the state legislature. It went back and forth, and there were changes, and there were changes undone, and so on and so forth. But it is currently framed as being a Religious Freedom Act.
They all are.
Yeah, and it's House Bill 757, and it essentially allows businesses to discriminate based on a patron's sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, things like I'm not going to make a cake for your gay wedding kind of stuff. Although it was initially, again, started to protect pastors from being quote-unquote forced to perform marriages that they did not want to perform, which they have always had the right to say no to. But anyway, they were trying to further codify that. And it has turned into something that basically allows you to refuse service to anyone on the basis of what their stated or perceived or suspected sexuality may or may not be. And a lot of organizations obviously have come out against this. Dragon Con, which we both go to and many of our listeners too, has made a statement about not approving of that. The last time something like this came up, it basically got shut down by the hotels and hospitality lobby here in Georgia, who said, hey, this is really going to hit our business if we're not allowed to, if we have all these conventions boycotting the city. And last time, a few years ago, they folded. This time, they're not folding. And it's passed the legislature, and it was basically, it's on the governor's desk, you know, pending his signature or veto. And it wasn't until AMC and now Disney/Marvel and a couple of other studios have stepped in. They've said, we are going to pull all of our business out of the state of Georgia. Specifically, they said, Disney and Marvel are inclusive companies, and although we have had great experiences filming in Georgia, we plan to take our business elsewhere should any legislation allowing discriminatory practices be signed into state law, said a Disney representative in a statement. And just to remind folks, we did have filming first for Ant-Man and then for Civil War. We currently have Guardians of the Galaxy being filmed here. And I believe Spider-Man, they've said, is going to be filming here. Mm-hmm. So
I think Infinity War is also supposed to film there.
Exactly. So that's a not insignificant amount of business for the state of Georgia. One of the reasons why we've been having all these studios come in is because we've given them some very big tax breaks. And we've also been building up infrastructure. And so this is kind of
tax breaks. I should add that North Carolina's General Assembly dealt away with, which is why things moved
to Georgia. Part,
one of the reasons, from Wilmington to Atlanta.
Yes, absolutely. I know there were some series. I know Sleepy Hollow was one of them that used to film in North Carolina that moved to Georgia as of this year.
And Iron Man 3 filmed in North Carolina.
Really? Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Rose Hill, Tennessee is actually Rose Hill, North Carolina.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool.
And Wilmington is also featured. AIM headquarters is actually in the Research Triangle.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Very cool. So this is a brief foray into politics for us, but it's relevant because this is something where this could have a very big impact on where Marvel movies get filmed and whatnot. It is looking like Governor Nathan Deal is probably going to veto it because for strictly business reasons. He in the past he has always sided with the people that are more in support of quote unquote religious freedom, aka discrimination. But it sounds like especially with Marvel/Disney throwing their weight behind it, most likely it is going to end up getting vetoed. So
won't somebody please think of my religious beliefs?
Indeed. Mm. So there's that.
I mean, at least one major difference, the Georgia Assembly had, I think, much more time to consider this.
Mm-hmm.
With North Carolina, it was all of a sudden. It was a special session that was called strictly to deal with this bill.
Oh, geez. So they just rushed it through, basically.
Basically, which has kind of been their modus operandi with this since they came into power.
Hmm. Disappointing, but that is politics, so...
Yeah, I'll be getting off my soapbox now and hoping that one of my beloved home states returns to its senses soon.
Indeed, that would be very nice. And as I said, it impacts other things as well. We have a number of fandom conventions here in Georgia, and that could have a very big impact on those as well. So anyway, we'll keep you posted and see how it goes. So enough about that. Let's see. We can I guess we will we've had some rumors come out in the last week. One of the interesting ones that got a lot of play very quickly was a poster artist named Sierra McAvoy posted something online on Twitter, actually. And what was it she said? For my 1,000th tweet, who will be playing Brian Braddock in the upcoming TV series Captain Britain? Hashtag Marvel, stay tuned. Instead of tuned. But, so yeah, and Marvel is not commenting, but neither have they told her to pull it down. It's basically a poster of a very muscular guy in a shirt that doesn't even really look much like a Union Jack, but sort of gives that impression somewhat.
It's, I mean, the Captain Britain uniform has never been like the full-on straight Union Jack.
Right.
That's been reserved for another character whose actual name is Union Jack. Mm-hmm. And we saw him in Captain America, the First Avenger. His name was Falstaff.
Oh, I totally did not pick that up. Interesting.
Yes, in fact, he wears the bandoliers, the way he wears them, mm-hmm. is in kind of a reference to that character.
Oh, interesting. I never picked that up. Very cool.
Yeah. But I'm not buying into this quite yet.
Yeah.
For one thing, it's one poster artist who's saying something, and no one else is really, it's not substantiated in any way.
Exactly.
Also, Brian Braddock and Captain Britain are really more associated with the X-Men universe than they uh-huh. are with the Avengers or the Marvel universe as a whole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Captain Britain, I should say, was created and is a character he's a brother of Betsy Braddock,
mm-hmm.
who is Psylocke in the X-Men.
Right, right. Who's going to be
in X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he kind of got his powers. There was an attack on his lab. He's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget exactly how it happens, but Merlin basically appears to him.
Okay.
You know, Merlin, the Grand Protector of Britain in English folklore.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them a choice of you can choose the Sword of Might or the Amulet of Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian makes the decision to choose the Amulet,
right.
which grants a whole host of powers that don't really come with any strings attached to them.
Hmm. Okay, cool.
And becomes kind of a champion of Albion or mm-hmm. England in the old world.
Very cool. Well, I'm, you know, like you, I love lots of British TV shows and,
right.
Of course, all the Marvel stuff. But it is kind of hard to figure where he would fit in.
Yes.
Unless they're going to do something in Civil War with, like, having Braddock be a representative, you know, on the Sokovia Accords or something like that. But we haven't heard anything about that. So it's and the idea of making it a TV series makes me wonder,
right.
is that something they would be doing with the BBC? Is that something they'd be doing for American TV? And even if there was a plan to do that, there's nothing saying that the pilot would get made. There's nothing saying that the pilot would get picked up. So at this point, it is completely vaporware, and I'm not even really sure where they would fit that in.
Yeah, and I mean another connection he has with the with the X-Men universe
mm-hmm.
is that his biggest team association
mm-hmm.
is not with the Avengers but with a group called Excalibur.
Oh, cool.
Who in the comics were part of the X-Men universe and included members like Kitty Pryde
mm-hmm.
and Nightcrawler
mm-hmm.
and even Colossus at one point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were like kind of like the European version of the X-Men.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Which is funny because Professor X is British, but anyway.
Oh yeah, it's weird because he's he's American, but he's played by a Brit. And, or two Brits now.
Yep, exactly. But so anyway, so that's a thing that is probably not going on, but that is certainly being talked about. We got a Luke Cage trailer at the end of Daredevil, which was pretty cool. Didn't tell us a whole lot, but
it
was
didn't tell us much that we didn't already know.
Right, you know, he's invulnerable to bullets. We knew that from Jessica Jones. Some people shoot at him, and he makes a comment about having to get new clothes or something like that. But that's basically it. That's certainly more than we got for Jessica Jones.
Yeah, throws guys through a window and that's it.
Right, exactly. So, you know, doesn't tell us a whole lot. But then again, we've also gotten to see more of him than we had of Jessica Jones previously, since he had a significant role in her show. So the other bit of Luke Cage news is, for those of you who are Anglophiles like John and myself, who are fans of Sherlock, one of the directors of Sherlock is going to be directing the first two episodes of Luke Cage, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to. I mean, being Sherlock fans and being familiar with the directors for that program, just about every episode has been something quality. And like, Sherlock episodes are almost like mini movies in a way, because they're all about 90 minutes long.
Right.
And so just the quality of them, it makes me confident already that this is going to be a good program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that most people have commented, you know, on all of the Netflix Marvel stuff that we've seen so far, the directing and the cinematography has been really, really outstanding, not to mention the writing and the performances and the fights and everything else. But yeah, I'm pretty psyched about that, because his name's Paul McGuinn, I think. I'm terrible at pronouncing names like that, but it looks like McGuinn. If you've seen Sherlock, you know there's often a lot of stuff going on. Not a lot of action, as much as you would expect for something like Luke Cage, but I think he's definitely a solid choice. So that should be cool. And let's see.
And he was Paul McGuinn was the same guy who directed the Victor Frankenstein, the movie that came out with Harry
McAvoy.
Potter
yep.
as Igor.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah.
Yes.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah. Yeah, well, we won't hold it against him too much then. that was...
Well, you know, everybody's allowed something, like a flop in there.
Sure, life, as you're always pointing out, John Favreau was best known for Elf before he did Iron Man, so there you go.
Yeah. I read an interesting article this week that suggested that, or it was on Cracked, I think, that suggested that Chef is kind of like his FU to Marvel.
Really? Really? In what respect?
Yeah. In the sense of, you know, you've got, he worked, at the beginning of the movie Chef, he works for a well-known, famous restaurant, and wants to do things artsy in his way, and gets told by the owner of the restaurant, no, you can't do that. Stick to the menu, or he's fired, and he decides to quit.
Gotcha.
And go off and do his own thing. And, you know, the article drives home its point by emphasizing the fact that Scarlett Johansson and Robert Downey Jr. are both in the movie.
Oh, good point. Yeah, that's true. Interesting. Very cool. And so, to sort of lead us into talking about this week's episode after the break, we do have a little bit more news, or at least more rumors, for Marvel's Most Wanted. There is a logo that has been leaked, which is extremely weak, in my opinion. It's just very, very plain.
Just gotta give us some more time. They'll beef it up.
Yeah, I don't think that is going to end up being their final, but... let's see, what is it? Spoiler TV has said, and it's gotten picked up by MCU Exchange and other places, that Oded Fair,
I would say Oded Fair.
Fair, okay. Yeah, that guy that was the cool guy in The Mummy, that he has joined the cast of Marvel's Most Wanted, along with Delroy Lindo, who we had mentioned before, and Ferdinanda Andrade. Maybe?
Yeah, I'm not as
something
familiar
like
with
that.
him, or with her, I mean,
Yeah.
sorry.
And we don't know what their roles are necessarily going to be, but
it's kind of par for the course for Oded because except for the mummy, just about every time he shows up in something, he's like a spy.
Yeah, he's a spy or he's some kind of a mercenary, and he's mysterious and he's vaguely foreign in some unidentifiable way. So it makes sense for a show about spies. Again, this is still definitely in the rumor category, but it's looking more likely that this is actually going to happen. So yeah. I think. Oh, and
something to look forward to. What?
Indeed, something to look forward to. One other thing before we go to a break, we want to give a shout out to the MCU's Senator Stern, Gary Shandling, who passed, I believe, yesterday. So very, very sad that we were losing the originator of the whispered Hail Hydra that was so central to Captain America: Winter Soldier. So.
And if you ever get the chance, you know, he was really a pioneer in many ways, especially with his HBO series, The
Absolutely.
Larry Sanders Show.
Absolutely.
Just an incredibly funny person.
He was. He was great, and it was great having him for as long as we did in the MCU, and he will be much missed. All right, so we are going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Parting Shot.
We have slain many dragons. We are the Polyhedron Society. We have braved the depths of Gallowspire. We are the Polyhedron Society. We have maintained the masquerade. We are the Polyhedron Society. We shot first. We are the Polyhedron Society. And we aim to misbehave because we are the Polyhedron Society. The Polyhedron Society proudly presents its actual play RPG podcast. Tune in each week as we immerse you in one of many stories through the art of collective storytelling and role-playing games. The Polyhedron Society has decades of gaming experience, and we use that experience to create rich characters and lavish stories.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe. And now we're going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Parting Shot. And it was a pretty straightforward episode in many ways. It was very much focused on Bobby and Hunter, and it was what in the industry they refer to as a backdoor pilot. We're all pretty much aware that they're planning on doing a Marvel's Most Wanted spinoff, and last year it had looked like they had left the door open for that. I'm trying to remember the details of it, but there was something where
it kind of, towards the end of season two,
mm-hmm.
With, you know, her laid up in the hospital and Hunter having tried to go after Ward.
Right, yeah.
And that's when the original rumors were going on that they were going to get their own show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then that didn't materialize and did much later. And to be honest, I think this kind of provided a much better vehicle to launch them from than the end of the season did.
Yeah, because at the end of last season, they could have gone off and done their own thing, and that would have made sense. But the way they've set it up here, there's a very compelling reason for them to be leaving.
Yes.
It makes sense for the story. It makes sense for the team. And yeah, it was overall, I think it was a good episode. We had some good Easter eggs, some good references, some good fight scenes, some good snappy one-liners. But I think one of the biggest questions that this raises is, I think most people would agree that Bobby and Hunter have been one of the stronger parts of the show lately. you know, we've seen, like, for example, in this episode, you know, where she was like, wait, am I the only person that speaks Russian? You know, the majority of the team are not trained spies. You know, they're people who have their own specializations or anything. But really, you know, we've just got May, really, for the most part, who's a trained, you know, spy slash assassin. And so with Bobby leaving the team, they're losing one of their hardest hitters, as well as one of their people that's the best at, you know, doing spy stuff.
Although at the same time, Lance is also one of the biggest loose cannons on the team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But another thing that he contributes is he's always, you know, got some of the best lines in any given episode. Whether it's that time that they were infiltrating the ATCU and he was doing the computer hacking thing, or any number of other things. He usually has some of the best lines and adds, you know, a good comedic element to the show without being in any way, you know, silly or anything. So by taking them out of the show,
yes.
I think it's gonna hurt S.H.I.E.L.D. more than it hurts them.
Well, you know, Lance is a Lancer. Who would have thought?
Go figure. I know, right?
Yeah. I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has plenty of strong characters, and I think it'll be able to carry on as well as it has, and mm-hmm. they're certainly building things more around the Secret Warriors. You know, we've introduced Yo-Yo.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we had passing references to Manifold.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see more of these members, especially the characters that we recognize from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And they might come in and they might take on, similar roles.
Sure.
To what Bobby and Hunter fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Or other characters may take on their roles, as sometimes happens in the industry.
Sure, absolutely.
When, you'll see other characters start to take on this trait or that trait.
Yeah, you know, much like we lost Ward and we picked up Bobby. You know, similar kind of skill set and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a big blow to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're going to have some rebuilding to do, I think,
right.
In terms of establishing characters. Because I think that these two characters have really been a big part of what has worked with the show in the last year or so. But they definitely got a very good send-off.
Right.
Some very cool twists and everything. Nothing quite as big as in the previous episode, but Dark Force guy, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, General Androvich. He actually does have kind of a comic counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comics, the character has a similar name but completely different power set.
Mm-hmm.
And he's called Iron Curtain.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and of course, he was created back during the Soviet era.
Right. When it would make more sense, sure.
Yeah. But his power is like invulnerability and super strength, unlike this version of Androvich.
Right, which is, for any of you that happen to have played Vampire the Masquerade, it's the La Sombra skill set, the ability of, like, controlling shadows and whatnot, but it also ties in...
It just makes me think of Peter Pan, but...
Right, exactly. But it also ties in, of course, with the stuff that Whitney was doing in Agent Carter, I assume. Because
she wasn't controlling a shadow so much, but she was controlling Dark Force.
Yeah, it was Dark Force. But when you think about things like that point where the council had her, you know, captured, and she basically sent the tentacles of Dark Force out and melted people. That did look very. It was very shadow related. But
Dark Force certainly seems to be a very malleable substance, considering that we've seen it three different times now, used in three different ways.
Right, and we haven't even gotten to Doctor Strange yet. So yeah, it's I think as of right now, it's kind of it works however we need it to work for the story, possibly. but yeah, this
Deus Ex Machina.
Indeed. This was definitely a manifestation of Shadow that was more physical in terms of you know, fight scenes, as opposed to disintegrating people or things like that.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, Androvich's shadow golem is able to control its density, so it can punch somebody, but if it gets shot at or punched back, it dissipates.
Right, which is kind of like cheating. It's just totally unfair. And you know, as they point out on there, how do you fight that? You can't, because you know it can harm you, but you can't harm it unless you take out the guy who's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately the only way to defeat it, is to take out the host.
Right, exactly. So so that was a good twist, and very interesting to see the president in on things, President Ellis.
Which I believe he's coming to MegaCon this year.
Oh, cool. Where's MegaCon?
Down in Orlando, Florida.
Oh.
It'll be Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial
I'm half Day. Tempted to, like, walk past him and just go, it's pronounced Dumas.
Nice.
If you've ever seen The Shawshank Redemption, he's one of the prisoners.
Oh,
in there.
Right,
and,
right.
And he's got the scene where they're unpacking all the books for the prison library. He reads the title, Count of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas.
Nice.
And Andy corrects him.
And folks, this is why we will be getting an explicit tag. But anyway, yep. So yeah, that's very cool. And other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of other stuff going on. We really didn't have a lot of subplots.
Yeah.
You know, there was very little Fitzsimmons in this one. Coulson got to do a little bit of diplomacy, but that was basically it.
And I mean, Lincoln and Ward/Hive.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy in it, but Lincoln and Ward, or Hive as we call him now, did not appear at all.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, we had the core team there, you know, doing some stuff, but on the whole, it was focused on Bobby and Hunter, as it should be. And then there's that last scene.
yeah, the spy's goodbye.
Well, technically not the last scene, but yes, the scene that gave everybody all of the feels, and it was beautifully shot and beautifully done, and sure, I got choked up, but I also felt like it went on just a tiny bit too long. I just felt like they could have shaved a minute or so off of it, because it just got kind of maudlin. It was like they were just kind of trying to wring all the angst out of it that they could.
Well, I mean, I think we had to give enough time to show every member of the team that really meant something to
them.
Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah, there was a lot of feels there. But then our final tag on the episode was actually a completely different thing, with Gideon Malik and his daughter.
Yeah, and apparently she really wants to meet Hive.
Yeah. Yeah, don't really know what's up with that. We know from the fact that they're doing skeet shooting that she's apparently a very good shot. So I assume we'll be seeing more of her. Very curious to see what it is that, you know, is it just that she knows that Ward is a good-looking guy? Right. Is it because she wants to swear her eternal loyalty to Hive? Or what is that? So...
Yeah, it's really questionable. Although, you know, the actress actually has herself another MCU connection.
Mm-hmm.
She used to be on One Tree Hill with Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
she's got that connection with Agent Thompson, even though it's, you know, in a completely different universe.
Indeed, there. Indeed. That's cool, though. But yeah, that's sort of how it's wrapping up in the new storyline there. I'm going to be interested to see what they do with Marvel's Most Wanted, if that's going to be, and people have, you know, sort of come up with different ideas. Is it going to be, I mean, I was a huge fan of Burn Notice, and if they went along those lines, I think that would be really cool. Some people are saying it's going to be more like the A-Team, you know.
Because they've described Dominic Fortune as kind of their new boss.
Right.
Is what I've been reading about
him. Is that who Delroy Lindo's supposed to be playing? Or,
yes, okay. That's his character. Dominic Fortune was kind of an older spy He's shown up a little bit in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, he was basically like a kind of a 50s, 60s sort of spy character
mm-hmm.
who's long since gotten out of the game due to his age, mm-hmm. but still gets involved every once in a while.
That's cool. That's cool. And, you and I were talking before the show about Hunter having a background in a British sort of version of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah. In the comics, it's known as Strike for the, the listener with a good attention span, you might recognize the acronym from Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which was the name of the commando team that Cap and Brock Lomo were part of at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I totally did not remember that at all.
Yeah, and they all turned out to be Hydra infiltrators.
Right.
As far as we know, except for, of course, Cap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's cool that he's got... And for some reason, I mean, I'm... As you all know, I'm not as deep into the comics. I knew that, Bobby had a strong history as Mockingbird, but I wasn't even aware that Lance had been in the comics.
Yeah, and in fact, if you picked up the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. one-shots they did a couple months back, the one that they did for her,
mm-hmm.
he's actually in it, and they're in a relationship in that comic,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is not something that they had prior to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. So he has his own interesting history and backstory.
Yeah, and he was kind of a much older character in the comics mm-hmm. before this, before the more recent retconning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was essentially on the same level as Fury, but for Strike.
Oh, cool. Okay. So if somebody wanted to pick up some issues with him in it, other than the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, what would they be looking for?
That's really going to be the most recent.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, you can Google it, but there's nothing I can definitively really say that. Yeah, go pick up this series if you want to read more about Lance Hunter.
Fair enough. But the internet is wonderful and wise, and I'm sure can direct people towards that if that is what they're interested in.
Oh yeah, definitely will.
All right. Cool. Anything else, or are we good to go?
I think we need to talk about kind of how they left.
Sure, absolutely.
In the circumstances, because of course we've got the Russian Prime Minister's attaché,
mm-hmm.
his murder, the murder of Andreevich, being pinned on Bobby and Hunter.
Right.
And of course, while they did, while Bobby did kill Andreevich, she had extremely good reason to do it.
Yeah, but it's and it's interesting because I was surprised that Coulson was. I mean, obviously you knew it was going to go this way, but at the same time, I was really shocked that they didn't get sent to a prison camp in Russia.
Well, Coulson is of course very loyal to his people,
right?
And the Russian Prime Minister knows that they're not responsible,
right? Right.
But he also, of course, can't sanction American spy operatives working on Russian soil.
Yeah, absolutely. So
the ultimate choice ends up becoming for Bobby and Hunter to allow themselves to be disavowed
mm-hmm.
Rather than go to jail or rather than break out and then,
reveal the existence of S.H.I.E.L.D. and reveal the United States America's, involvement.
Right, and thus hurt the diplomatic relations between Russia and the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention the degree to which it would complicate, all of this stuff with the Inhumans and all of that. But it was definitely a good send-off. We got to everybody, the two of them got to show off their mad skills and the degree to which they care about each other and mm-hmm. Their loyalty to S.H.I.E.L.D. So yeah, I think it was overall a very good send-off.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right, cool. So I guess time to do ratings. So if we're going with a scale of 1 to 5 S.H.I.E.L.D.s, 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this episode?
No, I'm going to go with the 3.5.
Fair enough. 3.5. Okay. Why is that?
You know, I'm not really necessarily a big fan of episodes that focus on a small number of cast members. Mm-hmm. I like to see some of those backstories, things continuing, and we've certainly got plenty this season to focus on. Mm-hmm. From everybody. And while I understand this was kind of Bobby and Hunter's send-off, and I thought it was very touching and made sense, it just, you know, it almost wasn't, like, emotional enough for me.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Because there've been a bunch of critics, and as well as people that we're both friends of, that have just been like, oh, sobbing at the end of it.
I don't know. Maybe I've got a cooler head or something, a cooler heart. It just doesn't react as well to that, and it really takes a lot for me.
Yeah,
you really have to pull the rug out from under me and surprise me, and then just, you know, pull a Mola Ram and reach into my heart, reach into my chest and rip out my still beating heart.
Did you cry at the last Star Wars movie?
No,
I didn't either. Yeah, I guess we're just cold and terrible. I know people who sobbed at that.
I realized, like,
you saw it coming.
Through that Han Solo is Obi-Wan, so
yep.
He's going to die.
Yep. He's not going to make it out. Spoilers. Like,
why are you walking out onto the walkway?
What do you think is going to happen?
Evil and crazy.
Exactly. What do you actually think is going to happen here, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm...
You get a lightsaber to the chest.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with a 3.0. I thought... This was very middle of the road for me. I thought it was a good episode, but like you, I think Bobby and Hunter are interesting, but I think that this show really works best when it's an ensemble show, and where we've got everybody getting to have their cool moment, and we didn't have that so much here. I think that it was important for the show, for the setting up of the new show and everything. And as backdoor pilots go, this was actually better done than just about anything I've seen. If you think back on just a couple that come to mind, they tried to do a backdoor pilot off of Supernatural that was terrible. It was just disastrously bad. When they tried to launch Lone Gunman off of X-Files, which I absolutely loved, again, mm-hmm. it didn't work. And I think that as a backdoor pilot, I think this was very good. As an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've seen better. But
I know. Part of my problem with Lone Gunman
mm-hmm.
is the same thing they ended up doing with Angel. Is that they took three characters and they decided to make a huge cast out of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I could talk X-Files till the cows come home, but we won't do so here. So yeah, I think it was good. I'm really looking forward to what they do with Marvel's Most Wanted. I'm not
Oh yeah.
I'm not, you know, as psyched about the concept as I was for, say, Agent Carter, just because mm-hmm. God knows there are an awful lot of, you know, mercenary type shows out there. It's not quite a cop show, but it's pretty close to a cop show.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, you know, we can always get them back.
That's very true.
I'm excited at least knowing that that a comic character like Dominic Fortune is definitely going to be a part of it, which shows that they're going to continue bringing more Marvel characters into the television universe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the fact that, you know, Bobby and Hunter have gone from being relatively minor characters in the comics to having their own show, which is pretty dang awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that is going to do us for this week. We've got more exciting S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff coming up for the following week, and it seems like every day we're getting more news about casting and one thing or another, and we'll also be able to tell you how Batman vs. Superman did and how it's likely to stack up against Civil War next week. So until then, have a great week, and we will see you then.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.